the sales teams know who their best customers and prospects are, and are the marketing teams actually targeting and talking to those same audiences? It seems really basic, but the misalignment I see sometimes on that is mind-blowing.
Welcome to the Leaders of B2B podcast, a weekly show where we bring you interviews and in-the-weeds expertise with today's B2B experts and thought leaders. You can see more about today's episode and guest by visiting our website at leadersofb2b.com.
I'm here with Amber Naslund.
Hi.
Day two, content marketing world, but you're day one.
I am like day only.
Okay. So we were talking about your title. I'm going to have you do it because it is a mouthful and I'm going to butcher it.
Yeah. I'm the senior manager of marketing solutions at LinkedIn. It's a lot of words.
Okay. So we were just talking we probably should have been hit the record button, but we were talking about the friction between sales and marketing, specifically from a sales enablement perspective. You were a marketer that went to the sales side. I was on the sales side that went to the marketing. So this is something near and dear to both of our hearts. I don't know if it's dear, but it's painful for us.
We have the trauma and the gray hair to prove it. Yeah.
And so we were talking a little bit about like how challenging it is for marketers and sales to work cohesively to come up with a messaging that's relevant to the audience, in this case, prospects or clients, that's going to land. And so I think it would be helpful to know from your perspective of like, I'm not asking for a solve because I don't know if there is a solve, but like
if there was, we'd be rich and we could just like not be here.
Exactly. Because we see on LinkedIn, like people are talking about, oh, it's getting better. It's like, I don't think it's getting better. So why is it like, why is this, it's a tale of old time, as you said, like, why is this continually an issue?
If I had a magic answer for that, like I said, I'd be rich and retire. But I think part of it comes from a simple lack of communication internally sometimes and teams working at cross purposes. There's also, I think, differing time horizons. On the sales side, we have quarterly revenue and quota pressures that drive a lot of our behaviors and activities. And that means that we prioritize in a different way how we're spending our time, the work that we're doing with our customers. And I will also say that from my 20 some odd years in marketing, marketers are not nearly in the field enough with their customers. And so we were very disconnected from what we think we want to be happening, like the utopian idea we have as marketers of this is our value proposition. These are the talking points that will land. This is how we want to be positioned in the market. And I've never actually spent any time talking to a customer about whether that's true to validate that hypothesis. So I think part of it is that marketing needs to get in the field. Marketing needs to be in front of customers. Marketing needs to talk to customers and have an intimate understanding. They need to talk to their sales teams and spend time in a room with the sales teams, understanding the pressures, the challenges, and where we're winning. Like if we're out in the market winning deals, what is making that happen? Because that should, in reverse, also shape how marketers go to market. And we just don't do enough of that.
It's really interesting you say that because in my, whatever, we'll call it 8 to 10 years in sales before running StudioPod, now Content Allies, I don't think in any, and I was a solution consultant, so I was the one doing the demos. I was there. Exactly. I don't think we had a marketer in one of our sales meetings once.
That's a crime.
Right.
I mean, that is an absolute abdication of our responsibility as marketers. You can't claim to understand the market, which is, it's like right in the word. You know, you can't claim to understand the market and not spend any time in the market. And that means being in the field with your sales teams, on the demos, with your solution consultants, in the room with those QBRs with your customers. Like you have to know that stuff firsthand. It's not enough to root it in theory and hypothesis and like what we'd like to happen. Because our sales teams are out there fighting the good fight, trying to get stuff done, and we can't hit the market appropriately if we don't really understand what's happening on the ground.
Yeah, and it's the metrics thing too. Like they have conflicting metrics.
Totally.
Like marketing's doing leads. There's first revenue. There's for the sales side.
You want this podcast to be like an hour long? Because
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know.
I could rant about that for so long.
I'm bringing back a ton of memories as of like over talking. I'm just like flooding. Like, I haven't thought about this in a long, long time. Okay, so let's make a little pause. Have you seen anybody do it well? Or in your experience, have you seen like get it close? Because we were talking about podcasting and like I see everything from podcast lens. I'm like, okay, this is great. You create a 30-minute episode. You have a prospect or a client on you guys. We talk about really interesting stuff that's valuable to not only them and like what you're doing with your services, but for the market. And then if you cut that into, let's call it three 1 minute clips.
Yeah.
You give it to the sales team. It's like, here, run with it. But I don't think that's ever enough. Like, there needs to be a little bit more coaching behind it. But I feel like there's never coaching from the sale, from marketing to the sales, I think feedback. Yeah. Like, it's this whole like vicious loop.
There's a lot of like friction between those two and those teams who, it's almost like a battle royale versus a collaboration. In answer to your question about who's doing it well, you know, my buddies at HubSpot have been at this for a really long time. And I know that a lot of people cite them all the time as an example of what good looks like, but for a reason. Like, they've been doing this and they've been very sales marketing alignment oriented for years. And as they've scaled and grown, it's become evident that they are in much closer lockstep. Full disclosure, they're a client of LinkedIn. So I want to make sure. Also, like, I work with a lot of companies. I work in the tech sector specifically. So all of my clients are tech companies. And I'd say the mid-market to growth and scale-oriented companies do it better. They're smaller. They're easier to get in a room together. Like, Zapier is another one of my clients. And I think that they're a good example of teams that actually speak to each other and spend time learning the nuances of each other's roles. And I work with some big companies that do it pretty well, but it has to be a very intentional thing. If it is time-consuming to make space for those conversations. And something as simple as sales and marketing alignment around targeting. Like, the sales teams know who their best customers and prospects are. And are the marketing teams actually targeting and talking to those same audiences? It seems really basic, but the misalignment I see sometimes on that is mind-blowing.
The challenge also, too, is like the incentives are way different. If marketing isn't, or if sales doesn't feel like they're being enabled by marketing, like, why are they going to go off the floor to spend time, like, to learn about either a product or what's happening in the market?
Well, because they're like, what's in it for me?
Exactly. There's like, no, and it's money directly out of their pocket.
This quarter? Yeah. And I think that's actually something that at a business leadership level, we constantly need to look at, because in sales, we are often measured on quarterly targets or 6 month half targets. And there's a pressure to hit those numbers. So you kind of got to pull out the stops to do that. But sales cycles are often longer than the quota cycle. So in my world, a sales cycle can be anywhere from 6 to 12 months, depending on the size of the opportunity. So if marketing's measurement is whether a lead, quote unquote, converted within a 30-day window, and my sales cycle is a year long, that fundamental disconnect means that we're always going to be at odds, because marketing wants proof that their job is, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they're measuring things on a 30, 60, 90-day window. We have 90-day quotas, but our customers are not buying anything within that time window. So are we building marketing programs and sales alignment that support that entire journey on the same time horizon? Mm-hmm. And do we have metrics that align to that?
We actually see this in the podcasting space a lot, too, because one, like, to see the benefits of a podcast, like, it's going to take, just like any other B2B marketing program, it's going to take 6 to 12 months. But also, like, how do you recognize that revenue to the podcast? Like, if you were to come on, you were to become a client, like, okay, that makes sense. But what if we had you on and you were at the bottom of the funnel and then you became a client? Like, who gets recognition for that? Like, how do you split it? And that's the thing where it's, you have individual contributors who are like, okay, I want to get paid for this. But at the highest level of the business, you're like, how are you bifurcating? Like, okay, actually 60% of this revenue goes to you, but there needs to be more of cohesive alignment. And for whatever reason, it's just not happening.
This is when I wish for the halcyon days of pre-attribution in marketing, when there was a fair degree in early days of my world of marketing where you had to trust the process a little bit. Like, we sort of shot ourselves in the foot in the digital world by believing that everything can be attributed or every click can be a causation, and it can't. So when I was early in my baby marketing career, there was a fair amount of marketing that we had to do on faith. And I know that is like the antithesis of business talk, but you had to trust that if you were putting marketing content out into the world, whether it be advertising or PR or something like that, that you couldn't immediately measure the direct and near-term impact of it. You had to trust that building market awareness was valid. You had to trust that building reputation for your company was a good thing. And you knew that you wouldn't see the returns on that on the bottom line for months on end. But this is the age-old battle that marketers have had to fight. And from a sales perspective, if you're only talking about the last mile of that deal closing, that was months and months in the making. So do you have a working understanding of all of the touch points that customer had along the way, the ones you can see and the ones you can't? you know, the places they were influenced through word of mouth or things that we could never track on a spreadsheet, but we knew were a valid and important part of marketing. We've lost a little bit of that art, and I'm hungry for some of that back.
Okay, so I want to talk about on a more positive side. What are the things you're looking forward to? Like, we've been kind of like more and more on like the negative side of what the pains are, but what are some things that you're hopeful for, like in whether it's alignment or marketing as a whole, you're selling marketing solutions, but what gives you hope?
You know, I actually love that you're asking that question, because at my core, I'm really good at talking about lots of the broken things, but I'm an optimist. I wouldn't still be doing this all these years later if I didn't believe in it. And what gives me hope is when I go sit in front of a customer and I'm in a meeting with one of my clients and I see the light bulbs come on when they get excited about something. I was just sitting with a client the other day that I can't name, or maybe I can, but I don't want to get in trouble with our legal teams. But I was sitting with them and we were talking through alignment of their paid and organic content, like how to make those work together. And we were having just sort of like this workshoppy brainstorming session. And you see the inspiration and the excitement and the ideas, and you have people from all different functions within a marketing org coming together to talk about this. It gives me the belief that we are still doing good things. And I work at LinkedIn. Our big, audacious vision in the world is to create economic opportunity for every member of the world's workforce. And in my lens of that, in the business world, I'm helping companies grow so that they can create economic opportunity for their employees, for their customers. It's a life cycle. And I still believe that is a good thing at the end of the day. So when I see groups of people in an organization coming together to get excited about their product again, to get excited about their customers again, to get excited about the role they play in a bigger universe, especially in the tech sector, because the velocity is high and people are all out there trying to change the world, reminds me that my old crusty cynicism isn't always well placed. There's still lots of really good, interesting, exciting work happening, and watching teams come together to do that collectively still energizes me.
There is no other way to end this podcast than on that positive note. So Amber, thank you for joining. I appreciate it. Hope it wasn't too painful.
And not at all.
I hope it's not the last time we get to meet and have you on.
No, I hope not either.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Leaders of B2B podcast. And as always, you can see more information about this episode and all the resources mentioned at leadersofb2b.com. If you enjoyed the show, please give us a 5-star rating. This episode is brought to you by Content Allies. We help B2B companies launch revenue-generating podcasts. We schedule interviews between you and your ideal prospects and strategic partners. You show up for engaging conversations. We handle everything else. Ready to build a podcast that grows your business in just 1 hour per week? Reach out to us at contentallies.com.